Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass this Sunday morning here at the Church of the Madeleine. Know that you're always welcome to join us in the future. If you came in through the parking lot on the north side and down the hallway, it's clear that we have Vacation Bible School beginning tomorrow. Somebody asked me the other day, all that blue tarp-looking stuff, and they thought we had sprung a major leak from the rain and the storms from the other day, and said, sure, then that's not the case. But know that all the children are invited to be with us beginning tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And my thanks to all the volunteers who have been working these last several days to set up all the decorations, those who will be volunteering their time this coming week. Please know that I will be available to hear confessions on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, and on Wednesday from 5 to 6. And it's a happy, joyous weekend for us as a diocese. Yesterday, we ordained 5 men to the priesthood or the transitional diaconate. 2 brand new priests. 3 brand new transitional deacons. And all 5 of them, they came out of that ordination yesterday at the cathedral with smiles on their faces. You would have thought they were all 8 years old again, and they'd just been told they're going to Disneyland for a week. And they're all big enough to ride all the rides the whole week long. So it's a happy, joyous time, and they're spending today, many of them, the 5 of them serving or offering Mass the first time as priests or deacons. So I look at it this way. I have 2 new brothers in black, and I have 3 more in the waiting for about this time next year. So please pray for the 5 of them as they now begin their life of service to us. And one of them, Father John O'Neill, will be here at the Madeleine next Saturday morning, the 8 a.m. Mass. He wants to offer a Mass of thanksgiving and gratitude for the generosity and the prayers that he has received from you during his time of discernment and now his ordination. Last Monday morning, I was up on Turkey Mountain. And if you're from outside of Tulsa, Turkey Mountain is a 300-acre urban wilderness area. It's on the west bank of the Arkansas. It's unique that you have just... There's no development. There's hiking trails. There's people up there mountain biking, people on horseback. I was up there hiking with my pack, and I saw something that I don't normally see. I saw groups of people, some adults, some children, escorted by parents, who are up there on the trails. They're not soaking in the beauty of creation, but they all have these out. They have their phones out, and they're all looking at their screens quite intently, playing some kind of a game on their smartphones. And I'm muttering to myself, what a distraction. Why are you people here? You could have been doing this at home. Instead, you got your nose in your screen playing something. And then later, I came back to the parish and found out that last weekend we had a lock-in for our middle school and high school youth. And during the lock-in, there were some people who were not parishioners were seen in the church parking lot at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. And they probably were not there wanting to get a good seat at the 8 o'clock Mass, showing up 4 hours early. What turns out, the people on Turkey Mountain with their cell phones and the people that were in the parking lot at 4 a.m. with their cell phones had something in common. Because both Turkey Mountain and the Church of the Madeleine apparently are both Pokemon Go locations. A game, if you're not familiar with it, Pokemon Go is a game that can be played on mobile devices that uses the GPS technology to allow somebody to go to an actual physical location to catch a virtual animated figure, creature that appears on your screen. And you do so and you gain points by doing that. The locations of these virtual critters can be just about anywhere, and there are people playing this game everywhere, literally around the clock. And by the way, I have not played this game myself. I'm 54 years old, and it seems the target demographic is somewhat younger than myself, and I don't know what critters are lurking in our parking lot for those who do play the game. And I was not asked if they could be here. But if I had been, I would have requested that one of them be put in the confessional. Now you think about that. It's a 2-for-1 special. Catch one of them creatures and confess your sins and receive the absolution all in one place, all in one stop. but I was not asked about that, but that would have been my reply. Now, if you think this is a trivial matter, this game, I did a bit of looking into this. It was released for play in the United States early this month on July the 6th. Within less than a week, by July the 12th, 21 million active users just in this country. It's being played all over the world. Nintendo, the software company which owns one-third of the Pokemon franchise, saw a 9 billion, that's billion with a B as in boy, a $9 billion increase in its market value in 5 days. So if anybody work for Nintendo, tithe. Okay? Remember, God owns everything, but God is reasonable. God just wants 10% that we give to the poor, the needy, and works of charity. We can keep the other 90%. So just if you work for Nintendo, just to keep that in mind. Now, some of the people that are playing this game apparently become so engrossed in it, so distracted that they're walking into traffic. And there are now warnings, serious warnings, you know, don't drink and drive. Well, it's also don't play Pokemon Go and drive at the same time. People are being that engrossed, that obsessed with the game. Now, no doubt, it's a fun activity that it's for its users, and it's designed to get them off the couch and to go be active, whether it's in the church parking lot, Turkey Mountain, or elsewhere. And also, no doubt, that even a fun activity that has become a cultural phenomena is not so good when it becomes a distraction or even an obsession, an abstraction from what is truly important. Even if that which is truly important is simply one thing, the only one thing that is necessary. And that one thing necessary is the next lesson in discipleship that Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel. Taken from the Gospel of Luke, it is, as with last Sunday's Gospel about the Good Samaritan, is hopefully a familiar passage to us. Jesus enters the home of two women. They are sisters named Martha and Mary. Now, elsewhere in the Gospels, we're told that they have a brother whose name is Lazarus. The name of the village is Bethany, 2 miles away from the old city of Jerusalem, and that Jesus is a close friend to all three. As is the cultural norm, Martha is busy with the needs of hospitality when Jesus comes to visit. And this is no small task. In this time and place, in this culture, when guests arrive, special meals are prepared. Great care is given to make sure that the guests are made comfortable, welcomed, and safe. We see this in how Abraham and Sarah welcome their guest, and with a portion that we hear from the book of Genesis today. And their guests are messengers from God. They focus on the needs of their guests, and the guests in turn announce that God will bless them with a son, Isaac, the child of promise, the child of the covenant, to be born within the next year. Into their home, Martha and Mary welcome Jesus, the incarnate Word, God the Son made flesh. So why not pull out all the stops to welcome Him? I mean, if you and I knew that Jesus was going to be stopping by this afternoon, we'd probably be doing some heavy dusting, cleaning some carpets, making sure all the toys and items are picked up and in their place. Now, the classic Catholic interpretation of this passage is contrasting the active life represented by Martha in her busyness and that of the contemplative life of Mary listening at the feet of Jesus. And it highlights the difference between those living in the regular world with its busyness and those that are in prayerful silence of religious life in the monasteries and convents. Now, we probably don't need 3 guesses of who came up with this kind of interpretation. Probably some monks in their monastery. However, I know enough men and women in religious life in monasteries and convents to know that their lives are pretty busy too. Now, there is something to this about contrasting the contemplative life and the active life, but I think there's something else which teaches us about discipleship. Taking up the cross and following Jesus in our active lives. When Jesus gives his gentle correction to Martha, notice he doesn't directly mention her busyness with the task of hospitality. Rather, he says that she is anxious and worried about many things. And there is only the need for one thing. Anxious and worried. A description that fits not only Martha, but probably a lot of us. We live in anxious times. War, violence, terrorism, as we saw again this last week in France, politics, employment, and these don't include the usual day-to-day worries of family and work, of raising children, caring for a home, running a business, caring for elderly parents, balancing family and parish budgets, and so on. No wonder people seek distractions in sports, in games, and looking for Pokemon Go figures in a church parking lot at 4 a.m. The anxiety and worry that we experience can have a way of throwing things out of balance. As we see that in Martha, telling Jesus what he needs to do as if he didn't already know, that's never a good thing. Not for Martha, not for us. When we start telling Jesus what he needs to do, we're not in a good place. That's why Jesus gives her and us a gentle correction, an admonishment and teaching in all wisdom to perfect us in learning how to be disciples. The one thing to be truly concerned about is what Mary has settled upon. It is the welcoming and the listening to Jesus. To be disciples, to be the church, is not about simply welcoming and accepting a particular philosophy or teaching, a particular code of ethics or moral practices or rituals or prayer or worship in the liturgy, nor is it about accepting a set of teachings that are contained in a book, even if we call that book the Bible. What it is about is welcoming and accepting a particular person, Jesus. Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Lord, Jesus the Word made flesh, the incarnate Word, the crucified and risen Savior whose body and blood, soul and divinity we have come here today to adore and to receive in the Eucharist. This is the one thing that is necessary, to be a disciple. It is the better part that Mary has chosen that will not be taken away. That is what Martha and we are invited into, for without it, all of our busyness, even if it's done with the best of intentions, done in the service of our families, of our neighbors, of our church, will be done more out of a duty, more out of ritual and custom than out of joy and love. The acts of mercy are not to be a burden for us. To have as a center point of our lives the welcoming of Jesus and thereby loving God and neighbor as disciples, as the church, is to have our life in the right order. And everything else, family, work, friendships, revolve around it and are to be seen and understood from this viewpoint. And then the moral and ethical teachings, then the rituals, the prayer, the liturgy are to be lived out of that relationship with Jesus. There are the scriptures, the tradition, the sacraments. There we see, understand their deepest meaning. There we will experience their deepest truths. Now it doesn't mean that if we do this and tomorrow the world is, when we wake up, is going to be a much safer place. But it will mean that this gift of grace, first given to us in our baptism, will, as St. Paul tells us, bring to completion for you the Word of God that is Christ in you, the hope for glory. From this completion, to live and do as faithful disciples of Jesus, let no fear, let no anxiety, let no worry ever distract us.